You are now listening to Out of the Blank.
And it's another adventure, and we're off to the races. Hold on, I gotta clear my throat. Okay, there
Let
we go.
Me clear my throat.
You don't want a nice groggy recording. You gotta have the emphasis on the words that I say with the impact that they mean. Bill, welcome back to the show.
My friend, it seems like it's been a long time, I think, because so much has happened in the world, but it really hasn't. I'm so glad and I'm so grateful to be back with you, brother. Love you, man.
If you're off Twitter for 5 minutes, the world has gone into three apocalypses and one economic downfall. That's how the times have been changing so quickly.
You're not wrong. This weekend I kind of unplugged from everything. I'm like, wait, what happened? You know, it's like, anyway.
I've been trying my hardest to do that, but at the same time, like, you start to realize how addicted you are to. So I tried this new thing where I was like, okay, I am going to run out of coffee probably in the next couple of days. And I don't know if I want to buy more. Maybe I should just test myself, see how I am. Maybe I can kick this whole entire habit. I won't need coffee anymore. No, it's like an addict, dude. After 2 days, I was like, there's something in this moment. Whether it's like when you're in a podcast and you're talking to someone, you want to find something to where for us, it's video still. So like when someone's talking, if you want to hit your vape or you want to grab a drink or if you want to do whatever is the time to recuperate, that's kind of what coffee is. You're having a conversation with someone on a back porch. You were like, I need a cigarette or I need a coffee. You need something to be doing in this moment besides like twiddling your thumbs.
You know, what's interesting is, you know, like my book came out, so I'm already working on my next book. So I've been doing a lot of studying about addictive items or behaviors or things like that. And you talk about technology and you also talk about like coffee or vaping or cigarettes or whatever, that addictive thing. And I've been reading a lot about just as a whole, our society being addicted to, like, you know, our phones and different things like that, and how it actually lowers the dopamine receptors, which is kind of what, from my understanding, I'm not a science guy at all. Like, give me history or English or whatever, useless song lyrics, like I can go with you all day. But what my understanding is, these dopamine receptors are always firing that are giving us like emotional highs and things like that. But it, as that is happening, as we're always being like on these emotional highs, these temporary emotional highs, it's also lowering our attention span. So, and this was an article in Psychology Today, not some weird, you know, conspiracy thing, but they were talking about how the average attention span of most Americans now are equal to, if not slightly below, that of like a goldfish.
Yeah, I've talked about it before. If you watch the Nickelodeon intros from back in the day compared to now, they've gone from 3.5 minutes long before it would kick off into your show to now that's less than a second. It just goes Nickelodeon and then it's over with. And I was like, what? What is that? My buddy's like, attention spans have just gone to shit. And I was like, man, you look at it, but I can't get mad at it. It's contracts, man. You gotta, everything has a fucking contract to it. When you drive your car, you're not accepting the fact that you're going to be into a car crash. You're hoping that doesn't happen, but that's the contract with driving your vehicle. It's the same thing with our devices. Instagram was down, I think, a few weeks ago, and guess where I went to go find out if Instagram wasn't working for everyone? I went to Twitter. It's like you're just going to another platform. The thing is, when you sign the unspoken contract with anything, the one unspoken contract with technology or social media, in a way, the contract is you're accepting the communication aspects to the device, but then you're not accepting the numbingness factor that starts to happen when you're coming across like a child just died and you're seeing that every fucking day, or you're coming across, you know, all the politics or everything that goes on in the world. You're basically going to lose grip on what your sanity is, and eventually you're just going to be numb to so much that when someone puts up a picture of a baby being born or their first child or something like that, it's like, it's all I'm seeing on Facebook is like everyone's dog dying. I'm like, geez, why you got to put up a Facebook post about it?
Well, and that, there's a couple things about that, but not only that, but the one thing I've been seeing that has been gripping me, like it, you know, like you're like, we become desensitized to, you know, like if you watch any of the John Wicks or like growing up watching like Rambo or anything like that, there's a level of violence that you become desensitized to. But with this, for lack of a better term, my opinion, botched departure from Afghanistan, you see the absolute disparity of people, whereas they are handing their children through razor wire to people they don't know, probably will never ever see, just for the glimmer of hope that their child can escape the hell that they're in. And there was a picture I saw where I don't want to be too graphic, but you could tell that what happened as the exchange was brutal. And it was like this reminder, like what I'm taking from you say is like this reminder, like, wow, like as our dopamine receptors, as all these things, like I would word what you're saying, like there's a social contract in technological terms. There's also a social contract that seems like that can be adjusted or broken at the big tech's discretion. However, to me, seeing these pictures and seeing the depth of humanity in handing the innocence, the future of humanity as a culture, society, to strangers through these obstacles, it like I got a little teary. I'm not even gonna lie, and I like to think I'm like dark hearted. I really don't care, but it hit me.
I know I've been out of the politics for a while. I've been trying to take a break.
Well, and I'm not trying to bring it there. I just like what you were talking, that just the idea that we as humans have value and life has value, and to see those moments as we are, and I'm not like, I love action movies and all that stuff. Yeah. I'm not, you know, but there's there's a suspension of reality, I think, sometimes, which is kind of bringing back to the point where talking about the attention span being lowered, but you're right. Like I remember as a kid, like, there's a show called Greatest American Hero. And the theme song was called The Greatest American Hero. Joey Scattenborough was the guy who sang it. It was like a big hit. But you, in the opening, you got to hear like the whole song.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just like, if you watch something that's like 30 seconds of whatever, and they run the people's names, and, you know, so I think that's a prime example of kind of what, you know, we kicked this off with. So
I think what gets me, like, for instance, like I probably have the unpopular opinion in this, but people always talk about, well, you should do something that you don't like to do so you can get used to it. And I'm like, I don't want to do anything. That's why I've never painted before. Like I never painted until yesterday or the other day, because I just never, ever, I don't like getting messy. I don't like doing a task because halfway through it, I start being like, I want to bail out of it. It's very hard to get me to finish things, but I mean, I enjoyed the thing that I did the second I did it, and I probably won't ever do it again. But, you know, it just depends on, like, you can find beauty and you can find enjoyment in all things. It just depends on what you choose to aim that area of focus on. Like, for instance, like a new goal in my life is not being a painter, but a new goal or a new aspiration I would like to obtain is, like, people, like, I know everyone wants their show to be like top number one. For me, I just want to create a platform where it's not just like just my show, but it's everybody that I know that I can invest into, that I know is good. Cause there's a lot of people I've met throughout my entire life. Yourself, including anybody that's ever been on my show that I'm having back on or whatever. There's just so much about, and I think this is like this with everyone, we all excel in something and we all have value in something, but giving the space to where people can view that. Like there's a lot of people I know that should be way more popular than they are. And that's just a factor of like, man, dude, if you don't like the divisiveness of how society has become, if you don't like how social media is fucking everything, and you really just, I know people that are like so much fun and so interesting to talk to, and I went to go tag them in a post or something for their episode, they deleted their Twitter. I'm like, why? Like, it's come too toxic. I'm like, Jesus, like, you gotta be in the eyes of social media. It's everything nowadays. There's no other way of excelling. You want to be famous? You want to get attention? Okay, well, now I got to start using TikTok. Learn TikTok. It's like, I don't want to use TikTok. I already got Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. Doesn't matter. TikTok's where it's at.
And then we use Parler and Gab and MeWe. So like like our podcast, we are on literally minimum of 6 social media platforms. If you don't include YouTube, if you don't include Rumble or any of the other, just like this, like Apple, Spotify, you know, whatever, just the platform itself that the actual podcast is on. And it's, you know, it's like, when is too much too much? You know what I mean? And as you're talking there, it kind of, and thank you, man. I love the show. I love what you do. And you were talking, and I don't want to make this, I don't want to seem like a braggart or anything. I want to kind of reinforce or to reemphasize kind of what you're saying. The value in that is one of the things that has happened to me since I started with the podcast, where, you know, just my buddy Jason and I, and then like John came, and then Norm, and then we have a Matt. So we're expanding, and it's great because we're having different opinions. And now we're having guests. The last couple episodes we have guests, and then an episode coming up, we all of our spouses and girlfriends, we're switching roles, so that's going to be interesting. But I have got consistently messages from either friends or listeners or people who are like, we're trying to bring into the community, and where it's like, you know, there's like a dismissiveness. Like, I get called a conspiracy theorist a lot, and that's fine, I don't necessarily care. But I've been getting a lot more messages from people saying, wow, everything that you've been saying over the last year and a half, 2 years is right, and it's coming to pass. And I got one Friday, and it hit me in a way. Like, it was like, oh, okay, that's, you know, whatever, just blow it off. But it hit me Friday like, man, you know, it's like, what's going on? But as I start to think, and I talk to my friends on the podcast, it's like, wait, people are listening. And in that listening, in that partaking, and in that place of revelation, there's that connection that maybe technology in some regards has stopped or tried to stop, but there's still that human connection, which, like, ultimately for me is like God is like connecting people, and take that for what you will. That's just my thought. But I think that as you're talking about like being as inclusive as possible, we have the diversity of idea, you know, the marketplace of thought, the marketplace of idea, where great ideas will rise and bad ideas will sink. But it's that idea of being freely able to engage in ideas. And like, I get like, some people are like bouncing from social media because it's just a lot, and it's right. But I would say, is disengaging helpful for you? And if it is, that's, you know, self-care, that's number one, right? But are you disengaging from the larger aspect of culture and the impact and the your point of view and your positivity that you can bring, because you just want to deal with people? And I find my, at least me, I find like there's a there's like a real fine line I have to walk for that. So
I think when social media first started, much like we talk about with censorship, for instance, social media has probably started with the best intent of actually trying to connect people and really trying to bring this new era of information and sharing and connectivity and promoting growth and all this type of thing. Was the start of it. It's not like that anymore. If you think that, if I was going to predict you that maybe in the future, maybe 5, 6, 7 years in the future, they're eventually going to start taking books and throwing them in piles and burning them because of the content in the books that they do not like, that I don't see that not being a possibility. That's definitely going to be a possibility in the future for sure. I'm not a fan of, I'd rather just people express the way that they feel, what is their own reality, because then what's, if we're a mental health society, then what's, why are you trying to block a conspiracy person or say that a flat earther doesn't matter? You know, I'm not a fan of the flat earth theory, but at the same time, it's that person's reality. It's scary that it's going to end up leading into an era of schizophrenia, which I've talked about plenty of times. But if that's that person's reality, now it's almost like you're kind of touching, like you're trying to also mandate what would be almost their religious belief. Because for a lot of people that are religious, like yourself, you know, there, that's your reality. That is your, you look to a higher being, a God in a way. I don't have that in my category, but I'm not going to dismiss you for it. So when someone talks about a flat earth and they go, well, the difference is what? One's a religion and then one's someone's thoughts or someone's feelings. I'm like, yeah, but now you're not letting expansive thought happens. And this is when an issue with like self-censorship happens, which we're basically doing on this show as well too, as free as we can be, you know what I mean? And I don't think we're saying anything that would be ridiculous, because I don't think we think that way, but there's some stuff that you start thinking about. You got to be like, well, I got to be careful how I say this. I got to make sure they understand what I'm saying and it doesn't get taken a certain way and chopped up a certain bit. It's like, that's the issue, is that there's now more of an expect of, you're now 90% sure when you're listening to something of how a person's meaning something, rather than being 10% sure this is how the person means it and just hearing them out in full context. Like, so many people will want to condemn you rather than help you or help you or see you succeed or just leave you the fuck alone. I'm happy with that too. This constant mandating of people is really upsetting the shit out of me, where I'm like, how are you going to tell me how to live my life? How are you going to tell me to do something when you don't even know my fucking middle name? Like, I'm like, what the fuck is this shit?
It's like, the older I get, the more I feel like I'm becoming Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino. Was like, get off my lawn, kid, you know, just leave me alone. But I want to kind of come back to something that you said that I think is interesting, but I think it's also very subversive, is that as we see, like, as we see our lives integrate with social media, like, I have friends or family who I never, ever hear from, or I know nothing of their life unless I see it on Facebook or Instagram or, you know, whatever, right? Whatever platform. But as we see now, the, the Watchmen, if you will, who watches the Watchmen, that classic idea that almost a Bajorian guard of whomever is mandating whatever social media platforms, meaning, like you said, like when everything first started, it was like, hey, this is a marketplace for free thought, you know, there's guidelines, you know, you're not threatening people or this and that, right? But now we're at the point where, like, if a somebody who's a specialist in a certain field, and I'm even doing it right now as I'm talking to you, you know, like if a doctor wants to come out and share something that they found, they're automatically taken off of YouTube, or there's kind of some kind of connotation, or there's some kind of flag or some kind of mark on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. And we see, my understanding of that is, I see that now starting to trickle into society. This subversively, subconsciously, is something that is blocked on the platform, which is now integrated so deeply into our society and our life individually, that as we engage in real life, we are self-censoring. And I can't help but think there's some kind of weird psychological operation or something that, or maybe this is how human nature, how we are, that we're self-censoring, like you're saying, because that's the programming. I saw that movie Free Guy this weekend.
It's a good movie.
And it was hilarious, you know, but there was it reminded me, not spoiler alert, it reminded me of a mixture of They Live and The Matrix in a little bit. I don't know if anybody is a science fiction person, but if they've ever seen it, it's like, to me, it's an interesting combination of, with a little PG Deadpool, maybe, just because of Ryan Reynolds. It's hard for me to, like, the whole time I kept picturing, why isn't Deadpool, like, you know?
I thought he'd make a reference of it, but he didn't.
Well, yeah, I was waiting for it, you know, because they had made other references to other properties. But nonetheless, I think what you're saying, like, is something that, especially in America, like the preciousness of the First Amendment, you know, like, and I think we've talked about this last couple of times, is that you can say, excuse me, you can say, or you can believe what you like. That's our right as American citizens. However, also know that there is consequences that you will endure, be it good, bad, or indifferent, for saying or sharing or doing things. And it's almost as if these Praetorian guards from these social media, this big tech, is now saying, I'm going to make everybody wear knee pads and a helmet and protective gear when you just leave your house. You know, it's like, instead of saying, well, I'm going to make my decision if I just want to walk out of my house, or, you know, it's a real slippery slope, I think, that we're on. And it being who I am, it also makes me think, well,
it's a strangle and release, strangle and release. It's all it is.
Well, it's a, it, okay. to me, it's if you understand anything about constrictor type of snakes, like obviously boa constrictor, anaconda, python, they're not venomous snakes. So like if you get bit, yeah, they're gonna hurt, but it's not gonna kill you like a cobra or a rattlesnake or something of that nature, right? How they kill is they slowly get themselves around their prey and they begin to asphyxiate them. They lit up a little bit, you know, it's this process. It's almost like they're playing with them, but that's just how they do it. And in many regards, I think, and we've had an episode about this a little while ago, I think these social constructs we're kind of playing into that constrictor-esque kind of mentality. And I know how that sounds, but I also know if I'm trying to be as objective and if I'm trying to step back and I'm trying to be fair and balanced and survey the landscape, at least my purview, I can't help but see that as a viable analogy, because I think denying somebody the, like you're talking about flat earth, like I don't buy it, but I have friends, actually I have a couple really good friends that they're like, Bill, you got to look at this and this and this, you know, I'm like, okay, let me show me, because I could be wrong. And it's almost like there's that idea, that spirit that says, oh no, I'm right. My, you know, you wouldn't say that, like, you know, once again, with the social constructs, but it's like, no, I'm right. This and this, I nobody's right. Nobody, you know, I think it was Plato who said, you know, I know that I know nothing. You know, I like the Stoics a lot. Stoic philosophies. Or Socrates. Thank you. I know that I know nothing. And the older I get, the more I realize the less I know. Like, I got way better questions than I do answers. I'll just word it that way.
If you were going to ask, and I bet you could probably predict my answer, but if you were going to ask, do I think it's okay for social media to be censored to block off certain things that they don't deem fit? Where do you think I would stand on that?
Knowing you like I do, I think, I could be wrong, but I think that you would have certain like hard lines, but I would think that, and whatever those would be, but you know, like I would think not threatening to kill somebody, like I'm going to kill you, those kind of hard lines.
What about even just saying that the earth is flat? Do you think if someone got banned for that, or if someone got banned like an Alex Jones type, do you think I would say, yeah, that's okay?
I don't think you would. But that's me. Like maybe, yeah. I'm interjecting me, but because I know, like we talked about Alex Jones last time, who I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody should have that. If it's a platform where certain people have, I'll give you an example. Not to answer your question with my question, but like the Taliban still has a Twitter.
That's
account,
what I was. That was exactly what I was going to say.
But Donald Trump can't.
Well, you can.
And I'm not a Trump file. I'm not saying anything. I'm just looking at the, yeah.
For instance, like people say, like, why do you crap on Biden to me a lot? I'm like, well, he's the president right now. If Trump was the president, I'd be doing the same shit to Trump too. I'm not a fan of anybody that has that much power, because I know what I would do with that much power. That's why I would never want it. There's one time in history that anybody has ever been given full power and then they've given it back up. It never happens. It's one case scenario. The guy ended up giving up all his power, then isolating himself out in the desert, and then dying 6 months later from like liver cancer or some type of shit. You don't, it's not who you are as a person. It's what happens to your person when that power gets let into the door. Is that once you start seeing all the benefits and how easy your life gets, it's like if I took you from $1 million and made you have only $5 in your bank account, you're going to go off of a standard of living where you're walking down drinking martinis by the pool, and now you're living in a shitty fucking rat infested apartment. You know what I mean? And I look at it like this. I don't want anybody to be social no matter whatever you say, as long as you're not like, I have an issue when it comes to threats or when it comes to like just horrible shit of telling someone to hurt themselves. But at the same time, where does the line get drawn? What can we identify as harming? It's the whole thing is the line ends up moving. So I look at like, I just wish that somehow in society that we didn't give all these giant social media things this much power as they have today, because now they've kind of, this has been the default. It's like with younger generations, I've been looking at this a little bit more closely, is that most people, if I could tell you, that you in particular, me, anybody that's really above the age of 20, 25, their parents told them they had to eat everything on their plate and they could not get up from the dinner table if they did not eat everything off of their plate. That was just the default. And that was because
been there, done that. Yeah.
That was a generation of people that were raised by people that were raised in the 20s, where it was the same style for them. Now you have kids that are teaching their kids, hey, you don't have to eat everything. We'll save it. We'll do this. We'll do that. You wonder why we have an obesity rate in the country right now is because everyone is told that the task in front of them needs to be completed before they can do the next thing. That's why there's a food issue. That's why there's so many people that's why they've literally had to limit serving sizes. When a bag of chips, you used to just eat a whole giant bag of Doritos. I used to do it all the time. Now you're wondering why the bags are smaller. It's because you won't stop at the fucking halfway or a quarter of the bag. Eat the full fucking thing, because you've always been instilled into you since you were a kid or a baby to eat all of your food on your plate. This is the task. Not when you're full, you stop.
I hear what you're saying. For me, see, there's so many benefits. Like I'll give you an example. I know, was it New York City? I think it was a couple years ago. Like, they banned like big gulps or something like that. Like, they limited the ounces that you could have. Like, if you go to a Speedway or 7-Eleven or whatever, you go to like a place like that and you get a fountain drink. Like, they limited the amount of ounces that you could actually buy. And I'm thinking, I don't want that. Like, if I want a large,
We have to regulate you.
Yes. And like, so for me, like, my purview is like, I believe the greatest gift God gave humanity outside of Christ's sacrifice is free will, meaning that we have the choice to do what we want to do. Right. I look at that is there's things that are beneficial for us. And then there's things that, okay, we're stupid, so we're going to do whatever. Like, you know, the classic example is, you know, a kid touches the stove because it's hot. Well, you're going to learn not to do that again because the pain of the experience had left an impression on you. I'll give you an example of my own life. Like, you know, we were joking about it, you know, before, like, I'm being legally blind, having a kidney transplant. Every surgery I've ever had, I've almost died through the process. And then after my kidney transplant, I had to go back in for another round of surgery and therapies and stuff, because I don't know, but I guess I'm special that way. But my larger point being is that I've taken it upon myself, like, I was given a kidney. I do have the sight I have, I am stewarding, and I'm doing, so that's why I try to work out every day. I do try the best I can to make healthy decisions. I listen to my physicians, take their advice, make sure I'm doing my, taking care of my, or taking my medications right. All this stuff that you're supposed to do, right? Now, I could say, well, screw it and just do whatever I want to do. Or I can say, you know what? I've been given a gift and I'm going to do the best I can to take care of my, not just myself, but I know there's people that do care about me and do want me around. And I'm crazy enough to believe that maybe there is some sort of a purpose in my life, that maybe I can make an eternal impact on others. So I don't want to be selfish and just think about me. But with all due respect to whomever, like, somebody could be in a similar situation and they can make different decisions. But and that might hurt and that might suck and that might be, not to be a whatever, but that might be short-sighted and selfish. But I believe they have the ability and the freedom to make those decisions. But once again, kind of going back to what I said, it's the consequences that you have to suffer from the decisions. And I don't think that is promoted. And maybe I'm older than you. And like, you talk about like not leaving the dinner table before you finish like your broccoli or your green beans or, you know, whatever. Like, yeah, dude, that's how it was, you know. I remember one time like waking up in the morning thinking I'm gonna get like a Pop-Tart or like, you know, Frosted Flakes or something for breakfast, and like, nope, there's a broccoli. You know, but
why does everybody hate broccoli? It's like the best food.
I can't do it, man. I could never
eat the actual meal. I could only eat the vegetables.
Well, that's a gift, man. Like, seriously, like, you put a steak in front of me and broccoli, that I'm going to crush that snake, but I'm not going to, I can't, I just can't do it. But there are, I love like, which I guess isn't a vegetable. Like the vegetables I like really aren't vegetables, like potatoes and rice. Like I like carrots, corn. I guess they're all starches now, but when I was growing up, there was the four food groups. But nonetheless, my point being is that I think it's accountability. You know, we just, we recorded an episode Saturday with a guy who's, he whole thing was about accountability and raising up leaders and in our local communities to make an impact on our national or global community. And man, I don't know. I don't want to sound like a dick, but it's like when I grew up, like, and I sound like some old grandpa, when I grew up, you know, I got cut from the football team or I got cut from the wrestling team. You know, there was a level of expectation, accountability that seems to be gone to the wayside. And I think that's a detriment, not just as a society, as a community, but individually too, you know.
You don't like it when everyone gets to be on the team?
Well, I mean, I think
the guy that has a fucking respirator hooked around his mouth and he has to wheel an oxygen tank out on the field. You want to see, I want to see that guy get tackled.
I think there's a place, you know, like in Ecclesiastes says, there's a time and a purpose for everything under heaven. Right. Hmm. I think there's a place for that. You know, like if you're in a geriatric respirator league and people want to sign up, you know, like I'm thinking Dodgeball, the movie Dodgeball, you know, if people want to do that, that's fine. But I think the larger point is, as a lesson in life, you know, there are winners and there are losers. People make great decisions and they make bad decisions. You know, you were talking about leadership and it reminded me of George Washington, who really didn't want to be president, but because of his success, well, later success during the Revolutionary War, he was like the guy. And then he stepped down after two terms and there was a tradition that until FDR was followed. But my larger point, for me, those kind of things, it takes a very special individual. And normally people who hunger for power are going to be corrupted by power. For example, if somebody is hungering to get to smash all the time, that's going to be their downfall, or, you know, whatever the case, whatever our weaknesses, that can be our downfall. So a lot of people, especially in politics, they hunger and thirst for power. They crave it like people crave air.
I think that's everyone, though. I don't think that's just specifically politicians. There are so much. That's
the easiest thing to point to, as a flame of reference.
The best thing I can give you as an example is if you've ever played Fable 3 or Fable whatever, you have a bunch of promises of these people to when they help get you into, you know, storm the castle and take over the kingdom. And then now you're the new king and you can choose to accept those promises, or you can look at the financial thing and the burdens of being a king, which is making tough decisions and choices. And that's like with politics. There's a bunch of people like, so I don't know if this is going to come out before the memorial or after, but the 9/11 thing that was going on, the only reason that Biden decided to actually release the undocumented stuff about 9/11 was because the family sent him a letter saying, don't come to Ground Zero. If you don't release those documents, we don't want you here. And then he made a response back saying, I will. It's because now he's saying he's keeping his promise. It's like, no, because you make a bunch of promises to get to the goal. And then once you get the goal, it's very hard to keep those. I don't think anybody, Biden, Trump, any of these people, I don't think any of them are naturally bad people. I just think you get into a position when you get in there and you start to realize there is a system that's already in play. I think that's with all of our lives. I think as much as you have free will, it's not going to stop you from saying something. Somebody hears it, then someone comes to your fucking door, or government, whoever it is, and fucking takes you away. It can happen. It can happen to anybody. And that's just because you're in a place where you want your life to be free. You want your life to be all these things. You want to make sure that no one's ever telling you the way you have to do things like you were as a child. But sadly, it might not be as obvious as just being like, hey, we're going to make sure you have to read this script. No, but you're goddamn right. If I don't make it to the platform, so if you mention anything out of the regular things that we like, then you're technically reading off of a script. This is an unscripted show, but technically there's a script. There's things you can't say. And that's even with it wasn't, if it wasn't a YouTube platform, if it wasn't a Spotify platform, if it was just the guidelines and factors that were instilled to your character from when you were a youth, there are pages out there that say people can be born racist. And it's a whole entire power movement thing. And I'm like, what are we talking about here? I can't say that that person's wrong. They're not wrong, but they are. And you start to look at it like we're all scripted people. The way that you think is not, if you were born 50 years ago, you would be thinking. You're not, and in some ways that's good. But in so many factors now, you're going to start running into generations of kids that are just not going to know a bunch of different things, are not going to be able to have basic intelligence factors, such as needing how to go to the grocery store when every single, they're going to be, I guarantee to you, 20 years from now, there are going to be people that won't need their driver's license because they can easily have things delivered to their doorstep and there's no need to get a driver's license.
I'll give you a prime example of what you're talking about. And I think
up my
think,
example. Come
no. I just to illustrate
on my own show.
Oh, brother, I love it.
I'm
now.
Kidding.
No. It's like I remember when I was a kid. Like if I had a paper or something, like I had to go to the library. And I have friends that they have kids that like junior high, high school, whatever. Like one of the assignments was they have to go to the library and do their research that way, instead of accessing everything here. So a real life example of what you're talking about is exactly that. It's in some regards,
I can't virtual reality a library and then walk through my whatever virtual reality simulator to be able to get there.
No, like the assignment was you actually had to go to your town, go to your library, locate whatever books, whatever the I think it was like an English paper.
The Dewey Decibel System.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, technology evolves and advances. And in many regards, it can be used as a really good thing. Like, for example, the internet, like you and I are talking and we become friends and we have a relationship and that's great. Like, that's a benefit. That's a good thing, in my opinion. However, when you're talking about like people being good or being bad, my dog's saying hi. My personal belief is that people have a leaning either way, right? But I think bad people can make really good decisions and good people can make really bad decisions. I think it's kind of the heat of the moment thing. But I also think when you're talking about how you were raised, it's a lot of our programming. Like, I don't, like, if you put like a Black kid and a Hispanic kid and a white kid together and they're like babies, those kids aren't going to grow up hating one another simply because of their race. They're just gonna be, hey, this is my friend John, or this is my friend Bob, or this is my friend Sam, or whatever the case may be. Those kind of things, like you're talking about, like critical. My dog, sorry.
I know. I'm surprised you said shh, and then he stopped for a second. I was like, did that fucking work?
It sometimes it does, but
that's very weird.
My dog's pretty awesome. Like she's a Belgian Malinois, which is like a cousin of a German Shepherd.
I know what
she's like a 40 pound German Shepherd, and she's like smart as a whip. She knows she's smart, but nonetheless, so she stopped. But nonetheless, like, those examples, those three kids, like they're not going to hate each other because one's white or one's Hispanic or one's Black. They're going to be friends and whatever. Like even like with critical race theory, like just the implication that I, being a white dude, am racist, I'm born that way. Like, no, that's not how that works. It's the idea, once again, going back to that free will, like if I choose to not like somebody for whatever, it's A, my programming, B, my absolute ignorance, and C, fear. Like most prejudices are based on simple fear of the unknown, and then it escalates to whatever. I don't even know how I got off on that. But my impression of what we're talking about, what I'm picking up is escalation. Whether it's upward or downward spiral is, I guess, the individual's purview. I look at things right now and as a sustainability factor. And what I mean by that is I'm looking at like my personal liberty or my personal relationships or my health. What am I able to do to sustain that as healthily and efficiently and economically as long-term as I possibly can? And even with like my freedom, like I, people that know me will know this, like the three sources of writing, of inspiration I draw from is, you know, the scriptures. I love the works of Shakespeare and the writings of the founding fathers, not just like the Bill of Rights or the Declaration of Independence, which are brilliantly crafted.
From the Constitution, I mean, that's right above your computer.
Exactly. Yes. But even like, you know, like you read John Adams or Jefferson or Madison or Patrick Henry, who's like, you know, Thomas Paine, like you read these guys and there was this acknowledgement that what is so easily forsaken can be so easily lost. If I don't steward my relationships, if I take them for granted, one day eventually those people be like, well, screw him. He doesn't, you know, he treats me like a dick. Like, why would I want to be in a relationship with that kind of person? Eventually, sometimes it takes people a lot longer than not. But the point is that can be with anything, even with technology. Like we can use it to learn and connect and to grow, or we can allow it to effectively herd us into these digital cattle cars and take us off to this digital place. You know, like how I look at censorship on social media or online is the equivalent to Nazi book burning, as you had previously talked about in our a little earlier in our conversation.
I was just talking about book burning, not Nazi book burning. You brought the Nazis into this.
Well,
but America took them out.
Well,
yeah. Hey, that's a safe bet. Anybody can talk shit on the Nazis.
Well, so, okay. Since I'm a history guy, like, to the victor go the spoil, right? So after the Axis was destroyed, the Allies, you know, the Americans, the Russians, the English, they divvied up the resources.
Why'd you bring the English? And it wasn't the English. It was the Chinese. Not the Chinese. It was Japan. No. Japanese.
No,
that's how Unit 731 conspired to be a thing. They split up the things in Operation Paperclip and they all got different sections.
Well, I mean, if you want to get into specific things, we can, but I was just kind of painting like a larger picture.
Okay.
Meaning the larger point was we have resources that we took once certain power shifted.
Yeah, the Nuremberg trials.
Oh,
forgiving everybody for all the acts that they did because we wanted their research. And it's like, hey, they already did it, but it's like, but they did some horrible shit. It was like, yeah, well, Wernher von Braun, the guy for our space station that involved a lot of our space research and the shuttle idea, also used to hang the five slowest Jews outside of his facility to production of growth.
And that's exactly the kind of stuff I'm talking about. You know,
I don't think we're going to be hanging people out in front of that'd be really fucking weird. You walk up to Disney World and there are people hanging like ducks from like a fucking window.
Well, even the whole thing of like a Roman candle. Like if you're aware what that is, basically Rome, they used to light their streets with the corpses of Christians. They'd impale them and light them on fire. That's where the idea of the Roman candle.
Damn came. Jehovah's Witnesses. I told you I didn't want to learn about God today. Now you're going to be a tiki torch in my fucking yard.
I'm not partaking in that, but my larger point being is that it could be the Nazis. It could be, you know, any fascistic or authoritarian regime has always done whatever they can do to silence whatever opposition, whether it be through literature or, you know, with my book, like one of the things, it's primarily a book of men for men. More women have bought it, actually, oddly enough. But
you've said this before, too.
Yeah, no, and that's only been increasing, which is really odd. But maybe that's something we could talk about in a moment. But larger point being is that even in my studying about the psychology of men, there's always been empires or governments that have been threatened by the warrior class. And they have tried to eliminate the warrior class before that those group of men can grow up and challenge their authority. And I'm going to throw this in too. I think to some degree, what we see happening in Afghanistan is meant to demoralize and frankly piss off the warrior class, meaning the veterans in our country. Because I have a, two episodes ago, we just had a friend of mine who was a veteran from the Middle East talk about it. And he, you know, he's boots on the ground, real world experience talking about these things. And, he and a lot of other, my friends who are veterans or just people who write us, are really demoralized and upset. So to me, that's kind of like a modernized version of that. But my larger point is that everything we see now was created and started from someplace. Where that has taken us or where that's going to go, not only is it how the individual decides to use that, Lex, again, you and I having this great conversation, this is a great thing, I think. Or we could just sit here and, you know, I don't know, do whatever that isn't. It's all the choice, but there's a collectivism and there's a, you know, as humanity is becoming splintered and divided, you know, there's a scripture that says the thief, it's John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. So if we're talking, you know, about all these greater geopolitical ideas, the idea of the advent of China and the ascension of the United States, that bastion of freedom, there is a larger idea that we're on the slippery slope. And whatever has gotten us to this point, I think real sober evaluation needs to occur individually and then collectively to determine where are we going to go. You know, you're talking about next 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, whatever. What does that look like? And one of the things that my friend said on the podcast, he said that a generation that's raised to hate this nation will never defend it, meaning that we're looking down the line, a generation that's raised to hate themselves, who they are, their land, where they're from, they're not going to say, well, there's something here that is worth defending and worth protecting. And in America, you know, it's not like in Israel, other countries where, you know, you have to serve. You know, so you turn 18 and you're automatically, and you know, you're going right. So I think it's an interesting paradigm. I don't even know where that came from, but
why do you think that people hate the country that they live in? If you could just take a shot in the dark,
you really want to know?
I do.
I think the social contract's been broken and people have been manipulated and programmed that way.
I believe that too. I talked to plenty of academics.
Well, I was going to say, especially I graduated college later in life. Like I was 30 when I graduated. I'm sorry, 31 when I graduated college. So there was like a good 10 year gap from when I had initially started to when I had to start or to complete. Through that time, I grew up, I learned, I lived life, you know, whatever. So going back to that same point, I saw a lot of this, you know, I like sociology courses I love, but I saw a lot of that social preconditioning that kind of we're talking about.
Well, I mean, I remember a brief amount of time through the show, at least coming up towards like the ending of 600 and heading into 700. That sounds so fucking weird to say to me. Yeah.
You're on like 9-something now. So yeah. You're killing it, brother.
I'm just trying to make sure I get that time period right. But I was obsessed with that at that time. When I was talking to academics, I was really questioning why schools were tearing up people's PhD research funding things and then, you know, like moving them around and making it hard for them to be able to do the types of studies that they want to do. And I was trying to come across why there were so many institutions where you see Crowder's videos, for instance. A lot of his fucking videos are on college campuses because a lot of those kids, you can be like, well, they're just uneducated. No, they're being educated in ways to hate their own country. And I'm like, that's a military tactic. And I think Eric Weinstein said it best when he talks about Harvard. It's because sadly, there's a lot of overseas countries that own a lot of these institutions with millions and millions upon dollars where they just want to teach you. And I mean, we do these too. They're called Confucius Institutes, and we do those as well over in other countries as well. But I think we also have a very, very big freedom of a part of this country, and that's not being deathly afraid of our government as much as other countries are. Like, for instance, I was watching The Interview with Seth Rogen and James Franco. Now, that movie definitely probably got us into a lot of shit we don't know about with other countries. but if you see how that goes, where it's like, oh, these people believe that Kim Jong-un doesn't have a butthole or that he can speak to dolphins. Now, if you look up what that the actual reality of what that is, he did brainwash his people into saying that. And it was not that they like were brainwashed. It was that they just didn't really care to question because they knows what happens if they did question. So you don't have a lot of you have a lot of people in the States. People always go, man, you guys, a lot of people don't really like the your guys' government over there. Well, we have the only capacity to be able to talk shit on our government without having to worry about them kidnapping us and putting us in a camp. Other countries that don't do that, even though they might be worse off, don't have that capacity to talk as much shit as they possibly can. I'll talk shit on America as much as possible, but I also give its credit where credit is due because it's only a couple hundred years old. My only biggest issues with it is that the fact of like people talk about the Pakistan thing. I might have the unpopular opinion in this, but I talk about we shouldn't even be fucking over there. I get the whole point. And if you study as much as the 9/11 shit as I have, you would start to question a little bit more as well too. But it's our main role in everything has always been trying to bring democracy or trying to bring some type of change in other countries where you can't worry about a baby being handed through the crowd. As sad as that say, as soon as I saw that photo, I was upset too. But at the same time is it's a whole other fucking place. We can't worry about that over there. All we don't even have our own country in orders. You want to talk about situations of that same shit and all the horrors that are going on over there? The same shit's fucking happening here in a different capacity. And that's where I look at. Build this place up. Get this down on a functioning thing. You wonder why there are so many people that want to come over here. It's because we have this great, different, better life scenario thing that goes on. But even there are people that are from Korea that come over here. Yeomi Park, her interview on Joe Rogan, she talks about, she goes, man, censorship, all this type of shit over here. It's there's no difference between the North Korean, this whole entire thing in that factor. You might not agree with me, which you can. No, We're friends. We can disagree.
No. Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, a hero of mine is a gentleman named Gary Webb, who I don't know. He was a Clevelander, which also, you know, being in Cleveland hits home for me. But Gary Webb is the gentleman who initially broke that the CIA was flying in millions and millions of dollars a day of crack cocaine to the inner cities during the 80s so they could fund the Iran-Contra, right? Freeway Ricky Ross. Gary Webb was the gentleman who initially exposed that, and then he committed suicide. Unfortunately, he shot himself twice in the head, which I still don't know how you could commit suicide shooting yourself twice in the head.
They say the recoil.
But, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But my larger point being is that let's fast forward that to today in regards to Afghanistan. So Afghanistan is one of the most richest countries in the world with rare earth minerals. Yes. You know, and I'm sure to a certain degree, the CIA is super pissed that we're losing all that opioids or the opiate, you know, the poppy seeds and all this stuff like you're talking about in order to fund the heroin pandemic. And,
well, you didn't see the video. There. The guards were taken. They were guarding the heroin. They didn't want people just sniffing it. They definitely weren't like, you know, patrolling it and making sure that they could have their heroin farm in stock. That wasn't happening.
Right. No, that's exactly it. And then
let me play dumb for a little bit, please. Let me just everything you say, I'm just gonna be like, what do you mean?
you're gonna trigger me, brother. Anyway, okay, that's fine. But my larger point being is I just find it completely wasteful, demoralizing, and purposely divisive that and stupid. Like, America didn't learn from the former Soviet Union's mistake of their Vietnam, which was in Afghanistan, which is what led to the end of the third World War, the Cold War, many refer to it as, which is in certain regards, to give them what you will. But I think Reagan was kind of strategic in seeing how, as the Soviet conflict in Afghanistan was increasing and weakening them, it put America in a better geopolitical position to, you know, Mr. Gorbachev, take down that wall. You know,
I just remember the Family Guy episode where he was punching McDonald's. He's like, tear him down, tear these walls.
Roadhouse.
Roadhouse. I can't believe Patrick Swayze's dead. I found out through Family Guy.
Really? You didn't know St. Swayze was dead?
I've never seen Roadhouse. Oh my gosh. I've never seen Roadhouse.
You've never seen Roadhouse?
I don't watch a lot of movies or TV.
Oh man. Well, yeah.
Despite what I said don't watch about a lot watching of Free Guy.
Well, I don't watch a lot of TV, but I mean Swayze is anyway. My larger point being is that why is it that, you know, you talk about Confucius Institutes and things of that nature? Why is it that America has gone in completely built up and then armed? The Taliban, Afghanistan, and now China is going to come in and just completely, you know, just have their way there. You know, it weakens and puts us in a bad position. But I think to answer your question, you know, people are taught to hate. People are taught to be ignorant. You can give someone a fish and they'll eat for a day, or you can teach them how to fish and they can feed themselves for a lifestyle or for a life, excuse me. We are being positioned, and whether you want to say globalism, whether you want to say New World Order, whether you just want to say all governments are controlled by asshats, okay, that's your purview. However, ultimately, if a great book to read, and I've not done with it yet, but it's called Tragedy and Hope by a guy named Carol Quigley, who it's a geopolitical college textbook, but basically talks about this, and it's easier to control or manipulate a mass group of people than it is the individual. And that's what we see now collectively happening. So whether it be through the lowering of our dopamine receptors, whether it be we are conditioned in our society, which starts at the family, or we go to these schools, these institutions of higher education, and that programming is taught and reinforced. You know, why is it that people literally are clinging on to wings of C-17s to think they're going to come to America? It's such a racist, horrible place. And like, I'll give you an example. Like I hate, you know, Theodore Roosevelt's my favorite president. And they recently took down the New York City Library. They recently took down a statue of him because why? It's illogical. Even like if, like, obviously, you know, the Civil War is a divisive point of nature or of history in America. And I don't align myself with that Confederate way of thinking at all. However, there is a value in keeping memorials up as these men committed these atrocities and try to fight for these atrocities, not to memorialize those men in that situation, but to be a benchmark and a guide to help maneuver us into the future to avoid the sins of our fathers or our grandfathers, great grandfathers, whatever. And as I learn more about like critical race theory and things like that, I am just seeing racism, and coming from a white guy, I know, I'm just seeing racism show itself in a new form.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one of my heroes in my life is Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X too, if you go to both sides of the coin. But to know, like when you start to dive into critical race theory, that he's a villain, that Martin Luther King Jr. is now a villain to a lot of people, it's stupefying to me. I have a dream that all men will be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. In my heart, in my spirit, that resonates so deeply. That's how I was raised. That's like my spiritual precepts.
Well,
like
I was raised when you said that right there. I know that's a Martin Luther King quote, but immediately when you said that, I was like, yeah, no shit. But that's a foreign thing to them.
Well, and that's what's being taught. That's what's being brought forth. That, you know, if you are this, you are automatically that. If you have what's the popular thing now? If you disagree with me, Rob, you're Hitler. Where it's like, no, you're looking at things differently, right? I mean, I'm not saying you're Hitler. I'm saying that's what we throw around now, which, you know.
I hope not. I'm Jewish. That would be fucking awkward.
Well, and that should be even more of a.
I have Ashkenazi in my blood. I consider Jewish a religion. I'm not religious, but apparently, if you're Ashkenazi,
it's a nationality too. Like I'm half Italian, half German. So you know.
So if I'm Ashkenazi, does that mean?
I don't know. I'm not. I have a hard enough time gripping with.
I do own a yarmulke, but I don't think that those are correlated. That wasn't like passed down at birth. That was just something I own.
I'm not 100% sure how that computer issue. I'm not 100% sure how that works, actually. I do know, if I'm understanding it correctly, like based on Jewish customs, whatever your mother's heritage. So if your mom was Jewish, you are considered to be Jewish, not your father's.
That's always how it gets passed down. It's always after your parent.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
But anyway. Yeah. But anyway. Anyway. So got off on that tangent. But I think.
I don't get it. If people don't want you talking about, like, everything's so divisive to talk about politics, but if the main things don't want you talking about what your view of politics are, and they want to censor your view if it doesn't side with them, then why can't I talk about Chuck E. Cheese being a global infestation on society's mankind of hopes and dreams, slowly slavering people in the back of their shop and having a rat feed you pizza? Why can't I mention that? And that's a conspiracy, and that's late. It's going to get me taken off social media, but the fucking political shit that I'm trying to avoid talking about, it's like they just keep sucking you back in. And then I start to question more shit about, like, Biden's son. People labeled Trump a Russian asset, and then he cut off ties with Russia, or he stopped. Whoever cuts off fucking ties after doing shady deals, it's like a drug deal. It's not easy to get out of that fucking group that you're in. But then Biden, when he was doing the drug thing, he made it so.
And that's just in your neighborhood.
Yeah. Well,
not even globally. Yeah.
So with, like, Biden passed a thing where cocaine was less of a sentence or whatever it was, or it was less legal action that was taken against you for doing an illegal drug of that substance compared to crack. And then suddenly, what, a couple months later, you find out his son's this giant cocaine person. So I'm like, man, then there's, like, shit that's going on where, why do we have people in prison for pot for fucking life? I'm like, I don't even give a fuck. I don't even smoke. But at the same time, it's like, you start to realize, like, people just rig the system or fuck with it to make it whatever it their favor is. And then the person that comes in after that, whether they still have the same siding viewpoints of stuff, like, the only reason, like, I think I started to get a little bit more respect for Trump was because of Obama just talking shit on him openly at a fucking thing where I'm like, you will fucking incentivize the man to do the shit. Like, you basically just gave him, and I'm not a Trump fan. I've shit on him multiple times. The dude's fucking orange. What, you guys, you have no argument here. I'm sorry. He's an orange person. Everything is orange. It's all I see is orange, orange, orange. He's a fucking orange. Right. He's from Florida. He's orange.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, I can't, he's not president. I don't ever see any of his social media stuff anymore. So it's like, I can't ever just talk about something he does. You don't ever see it.
He's deplatformed everywhere.
Yeah. It's like Alex Jones. I'm a big fan of Alex Jones, but when he took that fucking drug on air, and then,
yeah, he did it. Was it Sunday? He did it.
Don't fucking mention the name. Don't mention the name of the drug. Cause that'll get you taken off.
Right.
I won't say it,
but this is a drug that has a long history of actually.
How is it horse to war? Look, I've known plenty of people. It has such an extensive medical usage by so many people, more than just this idea of somehow got out there that's horse to warmer. It's like when they call
across the world. It was created in Japan.
Listen to this. Ready? And then how many people eat horse food for breakfast or livestock food for breakfast? You eat oats, right? That's fucking for. Fucking they feed that to farm animals. What are we fucking talking about here? The Quaker guy is a fucking breakfast staple, and people are complaining about this drug that's whatever. Look,
well, isn't a cow a mammal, and aren't we mammals?
Look, there are so many people that have talked about the benefits of that thing, and then now eventually maybe we're going to be able to say it on air, because the CDC has now done a 60-day test where they're testing the drug in other countries to see its effectiveness. It's like, Well, how is it a money thing? Why would they not want to get this pandemic over with? I'm like, well, what are you going to, if you have two options in your hand right now, there's a way to cure cancer. That's the ending goal. But one's going to make you more money, and the other one's going to make you way less. you're going to fund the one or research the one that's going to make you more money. So you get something out of it. Not only just the whole idea of curing cancer, but you're going to make a good profit with it. That's the whole fucking thing. It wasn't like they were trying to hide it. They just didn't look into it because they didn't give a fuck for it.
Well, and there's the other one that was talked about last year, which starts with an H.
Name of that one either.
No, it just, you know, the H, but like, and Joe Rogan's in a lot of hot water right now. Who Joe Rogan, I don't consider a controversial, like Alex Jones, who I love, like you said, he gets people, he pisses people off. So I get why people are kind of standoffish, but I like with Joe Rogan, like Joe Rogan is not an offensive, off-putting person to me.
The best way can explain him is that when you've had as many conversations as I've had, you start to understand him a little bit better, where it's not really about trying to pick have your friends on. It's just about trying to have a conversation that provokes thought and also learn something as well too, especially with the episodes I have coming up to 1,000 here, is like, it's definitely like it's very hard to just get guests. I mean, it's easier for him now because he has such a big platform, but it is just like, you are who you are, and anybody that's willing to have more than like, I would test it to people that really want to talk shit on it, produce an episode a day and get to the 500 mark. You'll start to see change in who you are as a person. Your thoughts are going to start changing. I have so many perspectives in my head where you could toss something out to me and I could give you how many different outcomes of where my brain would want to take that or think about that or look at the perspective of that. And that's just because the communication aspect is something that is essential. And sadly, that's not one of those essential things that stays during the pandemic. It wasn't even in there to begin with, I think.
Well, and I think it's also the idea of diminishing the individual and melding them into a collective hive mind thing.
It's
right?
Drones, lots of drones.
Well, you know, and even so, I didn't
good,
say
I'm
this
a sheep.
Yeah, well, sheeple. And I didn't even say this earlier, but I will now. Like, even that movie Free Guy, like, a lot of it reminds me of the movie. And I've been doing, we had an episode about this a couple weeks ago about transhumanism. Like, the whole, I don't want to give away the movie, but, you know, we're talking about AI and about transhumanism is where you can digitally upload your being.
Yes.
Essence as an individual human onto a digital platform. Like, we made the joke, like, you can put, like, I can put me on a thumb drive and whomever can, you know, load me up into the cloud or whatever.
I hope that happens.
Well, the thing with that, so
I'm going to be Samuel Jackson. You can't stop me in my simulation.
Whatever, whomever, that's fine. For me, what I think of the quote from Dr. Ian Malcolm in Jurassic Park, just because you can, you never thought to think if you should. And I think a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, whether it be the advent of technology, whether it be, you know, the collectivism, whether it be the manipulation of globalism and globalist, this cabal, if you will, I think all these things are, for me, affecting the individual. And what the Almighty has done is created individual people. So there's like 7.5 billion ish people on the planet. Each individual has their own thoughts, their own purview, their own feeling, their own prerogative, their own proclivities that are individually unique. Like, you and I have a lot of commonalities. Well, I think, you know, that's why we get on. That's why we're good friends. Right. But we don't see eye to eye on everything, and that's okay. We don't have to. Collectively, though, what I think is happening is we're being funneled into this time, into this position where the individual, what the Almighty has created us individually to be, is being erased and diminished so that a collective can be more individually manipulated and more collectively manipulated and controlled. Because that's the whole thing with the point of the Matrix. Morpheus came to Neo. He came to the one. He didn't come to all. Like, if they have the ability to jack into the Matrix, wouldn't they have the ability to put like a wide message out, say, hey, y'all, this is Neo. You got crap plugged into your brain. Wake up. He came to the one. So it's not the power of the collective. It's the power of the one. And you can even look, I'll just talk, you know, Moses came. You know, there was like even Christ, you know, like we talk about Martin Luther King Jr. There's always Martin Luther in regards to the Protestant Reformation. And even Trump, to a certain regard, talking about taking on the Trump or the swamp or deep state or whatever.
Well, a
there's
better
always
example.
Been the one, you yeah. know, there's always been the one who has been the spark to the power keg, if you will.
A better example would be like the powers of Egypt. Eventually it shifted out of the king's hands. And then eventually the priest started to become basically the main word of God, the son of gods, because they were able to speak to God directly. They were like a messenger in a way. So eventually the people stopped looking to the king as having the power. And eventually the priest became the most powerful. It was a slow manipulational turn of power, but that's kind
of, and you can see that repeated during the Enlightenment or right before the Enlightenment in Europe. The priest class combined with the monarch and a lot of like the Catholicism traditions that were now still in place. It's just history repeating is all it is. And you can see that now, like even certain current modern medical beliefs and modern medical figureheads, I think, are that modern priest class where their practice of medicine is without question. So whereas things you and I are just talking about that Joe Rogan partook of that actually healed him, like the that's this or that, right? So this illusion, this power class, or this elite, you know, once again, that idea of globalism, they are the ones who are the puppeteers, having, you know, the marionette, having us on the strings, if you will.
I'm all right with that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'd rather be controlled. Make my life as easy as possible. How about that?
Well, it's like Joey.
Hey,
Pan
isn't it good
in
though?
The Matrix.
It's the perspective you look at it. If we are being controlled, that means if your life is fucked up and you fucking hate it and you feel like a loser, it's not your fault. It's somebody else's.
Yeah, but
I flipped that around. I'm not even joking anymore. I actually might agree with that a little bit. I would hate to be controlled, but if I can blame it on somebody else, like much of society likes to do, then fuck it, I'm in.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you and I both know it doesn't work in reality. But if that's your purpose, if that's your truth or whatever, you know, good, but I just know there's always been, and you looking just even at the Revolutionary War, 3% of the colonists actually took up arms against the British. There's always going to be a collective, unified, small but mighty band of individuals who are going to join and say, no, this is wrong. And if, you know, not to be the movie guy, but like the whole thing, like for me, the Shawshank Redemption is like, you can be imprisoned in body, but your spirit, like his spirit, couldn't be caged. And a lot of what, like my purview, what I'm talking about is the idea of spiritual freedom. You know, like the scripture says, for freedom Christ set us free, and that back to that idea of free will, right? So and once again, people can believe what they want to believe, but I just know myself, I don't want to be caged. I want the freedom to screw up. I want the freedom to make a complete utter mess and have a shitstorm in my life. But I also want the freedom to learn from that. And I also want the freedom to readjust from that and to improve on myself and to better myself. And then hopefully through bettering myself, I can better my friends. I can help and better my society, my community on a larger level. But that is the freedom that we have. Like you can be like Joey Pants in the Matrix, and like, I know this steak isn't real, but I'm still gonna, you know, you can be manipulated and controlled, and that's great. A lot of people are, and that's great. Then okay, but there's also some people that aren't going to do that. And that's where the for me, that's the true power. It's like, you know, I'm working on an episode coming up soon about, We've been doing this series called Portraits in Civil Disobedience. Like we've talked about Gandhi, we talked about Christ, Martin Luther King Jr. But you know, it hit me the other day as I was thinking about Rosa Parks. Like Rosa Parks never wanted to start any kind of movement. Rosa Parks worked a long, hard ass day. She wanted to go home and she just like, I'm tired, I don't want to get up, I'm not getting up. She just said no. And then it snowballed into this movement for freedom and for change. And it's just the individual waking up and just saying no. And I think there's a power in that that's being stifled and it's being villainized, more importantly. Like, going back to Joe Rogan, he has his choice to do whatever he wants to do, you know, as long as he's not hurting anybody, you know, as long as not hurting anybody, right? But he's being villainized. And even as I look at Rosa Parks, I don't think she wanted to start a movement. I really believe she's like, no, I'm tired. I don't want to move. You know, my dogs are barking, if you know what I mean. So that's just me, to break it down as simply as I can. But I just think some people are just going to say no. And that's an issue for the power structure.
I agree with that.
We have an accord. No.
We do. We have an agreement. That's a great thing to end on, though. So I want to end on that. But awesome, man. Bill, where can people find your podcast and also find some links to your book that I'll make sure I link in the description? Or you can do the self-righteous thing and just let me link it all in the description and we end the show. It depends on what you want to do.
I'll send you the links, brother. That's my book. That's my book in the back. It's Smith's Heart of Man Repair Manual. If you pick it up, I'd love it. It's a labor of love that took me 5 years. And it's not a misogynistic book. Like I said, more women have bought it than men. Basically, it's just about qualities, much like we've been talking about today. You know, benevolence, forgiveness, humility, manners, having a warrior spirit, having a work ethic. It's just stuff like that, that I use quotes from history. I use stories from history, like stories from, modern, like there's a section about wisdom, and I talk about Mr. Miyagi talking to Danielson, and then, you know, there's stuff like that. If you get it, that'd be great. If not, then God bless you too. But man, I'll just send you the links of where our podcast is. Flawcast CLE, anywhere podcasts are.
So make sure I link it all in the description. And thanks for listening to this episode of Out of the Blank, and make sure you keep those puppet strings on and nice and tight so you don't slip off the icy grips of its control.